Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Leap out on faith and trust East Lothian.
I like it.
He's, you know, he must feel like this thing's going to come together pretty quickly.
Yeah. It did seem like things were pretty optimistic with that report. So,
I mean, with Edie and those guys, you don't have a choice.
That's right.
But if Josh's healthy, yeah. I mean, Trey Young is out there. You know.
Yeah, who apparently had some announcement today with Lefko. Did you see that? He's going to sit down with Adam Lefko, and he's had something to
He's not announcing a contract extension.
Well, yeah, it's probably one of those stupid.
Because that's been the news
ads,
about them.
You know, LeBron does the ad, and now everybody's going to do the hype up to, you know, say I'm partnering with, you know.
But Lefko's like real, like, right?
Yeah, Lefko is, you know.
Seem like news.
NBA.
More so than Hennessy.
Yeah. No, you're right. It was like, because the guy in the LeBron ad was just a generic person. It was the tip off that this is not real news. You think LeBron got to add, you know, announce his retirement with some slappy that nobody has ever heard of?
He did the announcement with Jim Gray back in the day.
Yeah, it was Jim Gray.
Who was Jim with then? Was he solo dolo? Like,
well, you know, it's kind of what he's always been, right? Which is like, you know, this sort of, he's the boxing guy, but he's also, you know, I don't know.
At one point, he was networked, though, right?
I don't think he was networked back then.
Am I making that up?
Okay. I mean, now you're
Jim Gray never networked?
I think he has been.
Yeah.
But I think in that.
I think at that time, it felt like he was solo dolo.
Right.
Independent man.
Yes.
Paid boxing, all that stuff.
Yes. I believe that is true. You know, I don't know. He's been with ESPN. He's been with NBC Sports. He's been with CBS Sports. And right now, he's with Showtime, Fox, and Sirius XM.
Yeah.
So I don't remember who.
Man, he's worked for them all, hasn't he?
Yeah, he has certainly worked for them all. Yep. He was the studio host for Monday Night Football on Westwood One Radio, as well as for the Super Bowl and the Final Four. So, again, we're going to continue to work to see who he was working for.
Tell you somebody who you don't put in your top tens of any league guards just because he hadn't done anything yet. He put up numbers when he's out there is LaMelo.
Yeah.
It's like he's just there now. Yeah. You don't talk about building around LaMelo, even though he's sort of the face of the show. Maybe it's building around Brandon Miller. But Charlotte's been trying to find something to build around for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it feels like this conversation has been going on for years, but LaMelo feels like the wrong one. Brandon Miller might be the right one, and Colin Knipple might be the right one. Like, you might be starting to have some things there, but, I mean, I'll be honest with you. I know this is a road game, and you don't have your guys, but to be an underdog in this one, boy, it's sobering.
Yes.
I don't feel like 51 wins coming when I look and see we're 4.5-point underdogs to Charlotte on the road tonight.
Yeah, I mean, in fairness, I mean,
just you're trying to line some things up here.
Yeah, no,
I'm trusting Isolo.
I like it. This is the Isolo. You got to get a win, right? Come on. Where's the dub?
Are we going to win tonight? 4.5? Put it in then, John. Check.
No, I haven't actually.
Tap the button.
I have not.
John says we're going to win. This is what he does to some of our. John says we're winning tonight. Take the Grizzlies, take the points.
I have not had the balls to bet any preseason. I'm Mr. Preseason, but I have not bet any preseason this year. Because it's just too random. It's like I don't know. Like, these rotations are not serious. Most of these guys literally do not care at all. Whereas in Summer League, I like betting Summer League because, you know, those guys do care about playing well. I don't think anybody cares about playing well or playing defense in preseason.
What's interesting about Taylor versus Isolo is, like, Taylor's objective, I think, in conjunction with the front office, used to be win it all, cuss, all games, full blast, summer, we want to win the summer championship, full blast. Contrasting that to 2025, it's, Cowher's not playing. None of our players are really playing. We're going to see who's going to be in the G League in the summer. And we really don't even care if we beat Charlotte tonight. We just want to give a little run and see what Cowherd's got tonight. And, there's some bright spots in the third quarter.
Well, again, and I would say in fairness to Isolo, he probably has to take that view because his big dogs aren't playing.
Right? Yeah, you're preserving.
I think if Ja, Jaren, and Edie were all in, I think he would care about, hey, let's go out here and execute the way we're going to expect to play.
Right.
You know, now it's like, who gives a crap? How can I be invested in whether we win or lose? It's not like I have anywhere close to my full team out here. I'm having to play, you know, X
or
amount
slugs,
of guys. You know,
yeah.
I mean, and look, I mean, some of those guys are hopefuls, right?
Your bigs especially.
Yeah, I mean, you really need to – But it also works the other way, because if Jock Landale gets out here on a preseason game and he gets hurt, you're toast.
See, like, that's what I'm saying. You need to know if Jock Landale can handle this duties with Ja before the season starts. What you're going to be doing is figuring that out.
That's exactly
you would have
right.
liked to get a couple of looks at that beforehand.
No question.
To
no
see,
question.
Is this going to work? Do we need more help in here? Go get another big, because Jock ain't rolling to the basket like we need him to. He can't finish around the basket. Just using that as a possible example. That's why I'm saying Jaren's one thing, and you've said it. Edie, you can't help that. But it feels like you're starting with one hand behind your...
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back, you're kind of putting Isola in that situation, especially if it's a front office mandate. Nah, you know, Ja, the health history, we got to be careful here. You're kind of starting him from behind here with his hand behind his back. If he can't see the pick and roll combination that he's going to have to rely on right off top, and particularly with Edie out, I mean, he has to emulate what Edie does for this thing to work, and you haven't seen it yet. Maybe practice one thing, you want to see it against the Pistons, you want to see it against Charlotte, you know, that's the thing. And so, again, in many ways, and you figure this is probably an organizational mandate, we have to be careful with Ja, but, you know, I'd put it, Eastlow's kind of got one hand behind his back. He hadn't seen it yet.
Exactly.
Yep. Not see it till next Wednesday against the Pelicans when these things count.
I sympathize
That's a tough spot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is like, you know, I do think, like, hey, the judgment cometh on him at some point.
It all revolves around Ja, and Ja needs the pick and roll.
That's right.
For him to be at his highest level.
That's just the way it is.
And so not having those two to look at beforehand.
Yeah.
It's got to be.
Yeah, I mean, even if Jaren, like, there was, again, there was optimism that Jaren's going to play game one, you know. so, but again, we know, like, you still have to have that true center in there with the way this Grizzlies team is constructed to get the full view. But I will say, if you have Ja and Jaren out there, I mean, the assessment is happening. Like, we don't need to wait. Because you're never going to get a perfect time, most likely, where you have everybody that you need all the time
right. In
the NBA. Like, guys are going to miss games. Guys are going to have weeks. Like, the ability of a coach is judged and graded upon how he handles those situations and how he navigates them, you know, and the best ones find ways. So I'm not saying he has to be one of the best, but you're still going to get evaluated. You know, you've had half the year. You had half the year last year. You had a playoff series. Perfect conditions, no. We can't wait around for those. You know, you get graded and assessed no matter what. Now, again, I'm not going to sit here and say, yeah, if they're, you know, 4-4 through 2 weeks, like, that's not really a fair, you know, we got to give it a little bit more air to breathe than that. But
no, even if they're just a 500 team without Zach Edey.
Right.
You know. And
I would take that.
You're going to take it because
100%.
of what you've seen from Ja after slow starts.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
Lynn, a lot riding on Edey.
It is amazing that that Edey has such importance.
I know, in just his second year.
Yeah, because, like, it didn't feel like he had that last year. But then, you know, you go from, you don't have Brandon Clark either. So it's really the combination of both those things, right? It's like you're down your bigs.
Well, again, if you had a pick and roll sort of combo with Ja and Jaren, you wouldn't have to be so dependent on a center, a Zach Edey type, a Steven Adams type to do that.
Right.
But for whatever reason, it has materialized.
Right, right. So anyway, it's a, you know, I don't know what it'll be tonight. I don't know if it'll be like a meaningful game at all. It'll be nice to see Cedric Howard, you know. I want to see him doing the fourth quarter, like, throughout. I want him to spread it out.
Yeah, I get it.
You know?
Yep.
But I don't want to talk about Cedric Howard anymore.
Baby steps.
Because everybody gets very upset and angry. Let the cake bake. I'm just going to let the cake bake. I'm not going to weigh in one way or the other. You know, I'm not going to, like, I'm just watching.
Oh, you mean number 23 for the Grizzlies?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes. That's
nope,
exactly
no
right.
Pressure.
It's just a coincidence. He's just, that, you know, he's just, it's a number. It's just a number. What was that Pretty Ricky song? It ain't nothing but a number.
The ones you remember.
Wow.
Ain't nothing but a number. It ain't nothing but a number. You know what I mean?
No. Mm.
bring us back to that, Brad.
I will. It's in.
Because, you know, Jason needs to hear it. Jason didn't make the comp, but, you know, I think he co-signed it quietly as a former Bulls guy. He saw it, that's why he was endorsing it.
It would be nice for the fan base to go beat Charlotte as a four-point dog today on the road in your fourth preseason game.
Man,
thank you.
Even winning, you're not going to tell yourself.
I know. I know.
Anything.
But tomorrow we come in and we go, look at Cedric Howard, how he got 20 and he hit two threes.
I'm assuming the Hornets are going to roll their guys out, though. That's the problem. Is they're going to have LaMelo and Brandon Miller out there.
And Con Knipple playing for real.
That's a problem.
Because he's real.
Yeah,
every time he goes out there.
I would advise you to invest your energy into Harvest Fest or the Corn Maze or something like that.
Plans for the Harvest Fest.
I'm not saying you shouldn't watch or take, you know, pay attention.
5:30 pregame on 92.9.
I'm not
today.
Telling you not, but I'm just saying in terms of investment.
Yeah.
Energy investment.
Man, Gabe got that early night.
Yeah, he got the early one, y'all.
Man, I'm so sick of this. He gets off for preseason games?
Bro, hey, solo dolo. We'll figure it out. It'll all come around.
No, I know. We figured it out. He's getting the night off. I mean, it's on.
Hey, everybody else I interviewed for that show said, 3 hours, I'm out.
Well, no, it's and then you could have followed up and say, no, it's not 3 hours. 3 days a week, you get off at 5:30.
Hey, people don't think. hey, John, maybe you should have thought. They should have thought of that in the interview.
Hey, I'm telling you, man, it's crazy.
Things
what goes
to think
on.
About.
You know, they tell us unlimited vacation.
That's true.
At Odyssey. But, like, Gabe really gets it. And I'm messing around.
I know.
It's the way. We're the flagship home of the Memphis Grizzlies. Yeah. All right? That's how it goes sometimes. We'll come back. Jason Pitts is going to join us at 125. We'll talk Titans with him. Game day. Lots more to come. Jason John, 99.5 ESPN.
Because of my age, girl, ain't nothing but a number.
I think I need to get a clean version of this, John.
I hope you did.
I need to do an adjustment here.
No, it's actually unfortunately not a clean one.
I found the quick one, not the clean one. We're gonna get there. Hold on.
It gets pretty raunchy.
Yeah, I just thought of that. I try
to relate to my partner with a little R&B, you know,
I'm
a little smooth music, man. But you know, this is where, you know. This is like a remix or something. That's fine.
I got to find a clean. That thing is not clean. I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
I just looked
not,
at it. It is aggressive.
It is incredibly aggressive. And let me tell you something else that's aggressive. The Live Love Memphis Group at the Real Estate Agency. But aggressive in all the right ways, right? That's the Pretty Ricky also had a song called House. See, I know all about the Pretty Ricky discography. We can get to that, you know, in the next segment. But they're going to be aggressive over at the Live Love Group. They're going to help you make the most money for your home, but you got to reach out. So to livelovememphis.com.
901-625-5200. Jennifer Carstensen is wonderful at what she does. Let her show you how wonderful she is. She can't do it unless you make the call. If it's one of your interviews, at least you're interviewing realtors, make Jennifer Carstensen one of them. 901-625-5200. Not even English, but Mandarin, Spanish, whatever language, no language barrier will stop her from getting the most money for your home. They've got a great team in all seriousness. Make sure you give them a call. It's Live Love Memphis, Live Love Nash, and Live Love DeSoto teams at the Real Estate Agency.
This may not even be totally clean. This is a tough one, bro.
The whole statement is not, didn't R. Kelly teach y'all anything, AJ? The whole statement
it's facts.
But he's talking about a young man I know, but I don't care. I don't play with the phrase.
We're not asking you to endorse it. You know,
I think this is,
John, it was young John fancying himself with some older woman thinking he could satisfy her, and that's why this Pretty Ricky song, he could relate to it.
I dated an older woman from this radio
cluster back
in the
day. And you told her, AJ, nothing but a number?
You did?
Come on back to mom's house.
I'm not saying no names.
You did not.
I did. No face, no case. It was before I worked here. Is before I worked here. But
she worked at this group?
She did. You know, this is now you got to think, this is back when we had employees.
Yeah, that's been like 15 years ago.
Yeah, so.
I think I know some of the group. There's some baddies in those days.
I don't know if I'd say baddie, but, you know.
If it's the one, I'm not. We're probably thinking a different one then. All right.
No, I would say
I'm a happily married
man. No face,
no
case.
Baddies around here.
John used to whisper, age ain't nothing but a number in our 50-year-old ear.
She wasn't 50. But she was probably like
he'd whisper.
How old were we talking about?
She was in her mid 30s and I was in my early 20s.
Okay.
You know.
Bro, nobody want to hear about this mess.
No, I mean you
this is why you love the psalm though.
Yeah.
We know it.
Yeah. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And you know, it didn't end up working out obviously it was the on borrowed time thing, you know.
Yeah, heard that.
It's not going to work. But I've been there and done it, brother, and I'm happily married now with lots of kids and we're just doing the, you know, now nothing happens now. It's great. just, if I get a look, I'm like, "Whoo!" Good day. Good day in the household. All right, we're going to come back. Fitz is going to join us on the other side. We'll talk to him about the Titans organization, where they could go, the next coach, Cam Ward, game day, all that and more. J&J, 90 Turn FM, ESPN. Jason Fitz is a host for Yahoo Sports. Catch him on Yahoo Daily. He's a friend of the show. And we got a lot to talk to him about. He joins us now. Fitz, we know, respect and love and recognize the fact that you no longer work with Game Day at ESPN. But you have such an intimate knowledge and institutional awareness of how that show operates. We're holding out hope in Memphis that Game Day comes to Memphis for obvious reasons. We love the showcase. We love the profiling, all of that. However, ESPN, or I should say Memphis, did announce that the game will be kicked off at 11 a.m. on either ESPN or ESPN2. As someone who knows how Game Day works, does that, in your mind, take Game Day off the table?
No, 100%. That doesn't actually take Game Day off the table at all. And the funny thing is, kickoff times in most ways are a variable that Game Day doesn't think that much about. They think about, can they get a crowd? And I think if there's anything that Memphis proved when I was there with Game Day is that, you know, you can get a crowd, right? Like, there's never going to be an issue with that. So, you know, I don't think that the kickoff time is really a part of it. I think when you start looking at the schedules and you ask, how are we going to get Game Day? The biggest thing you have to look at is, where else is Game Day gone and where else will Game Day likely go, right? So that's when you start, like, if you want to play the schedule game, look at it and say, okay, well, where's Game Day going to be in the next few weeks? And that's why a lot of times early in the season when someone is like, oh, Game Day's definitely going to Alabama. Well, are they? Because they don't want to blow that too many times. They're not going to go to Alabama more than twice in a desperate season, for example. So I think you start to play the schedule game. I don't know off the top of my head how the schedule game looks for that week, but that's the biggest thing I would tell you to keep an eye out on. And then frankly, you know, since I'm not part of the machine anymore, I can tell you that any time that Big Noon is in the same place or it promotes a Fox game, whether ESPN wants to admit it or not, they're hesitant to do that. So if you see that the big game of the week is a Fox game, then ESPN hesitates to want to go there, especially if Big Noon's going to be there. So that's the other variable I think that, you know, everybody should at least know when you're playing the schedule game to get Memphis. And look, Memphis was a great, and I don't mean that lightly, it was a great experience for everybody that was at Game Day when I was there. So I do think that that also leads to a, hey, it looked great, it felt great, the vibes were great. Like, all of that keeps it on the radar far more than I think most people would realize.
I think we have ruled out, and maybe you would agree with us, we probably would appreciate it, that Oklahoma game this week, because, well, that week, Ole Miss at Oklahoma, because they've been to Oklahoma, to your point. So you pay attention to where they've been, like you've instructed us. The one I think we're most worried about is that Texas A&M LSU game, you know, and who knows what happens. I mean, you know, Vandy's is favored this week, but that one seems to be the one. And here's what I want to get to. There's another option, Fitzy. I just wonder, knowing them the way you do, North Dakota State, South Dakota State would be 1-2 in FCS. And I feel like they've checked that box before. I'm not sure how many times. We know they're going to lean SEC if they've got a major matchup. But do you think that game would be under serious consideration too, considering their positions in the FCS poll?
Yeah, so the only thing, I went that year to North Dakota State, South Dakota State. It's a great rivalry. It's a great matchup. I'm trying to say this as gently as I can. I don't know that I remember a game everybody got out of faster. Like, the minute Game Day was over, everybody was like, all right, see ya.
Yep.
Like, everybody was right out of the building there. I don't think that game would be more appealing than a Memphis game. And then the other thing that I would tell you, coming off the LSU game, everybody should be rooting for Vandy. They proved it earlier this season. Like, I had a celebrity that is a big Florida State booster or a Florida State grad that was talking to me and was like, hey, no, they're definitely going to Florida State, Miami, no matter what. I've been told that's what's going to happen. So I'm going to go to Game Day. Then Florida State lost and they didn't want to go to that game after a loss. So if Vandy beats LSU, they don't like to go to a game that involves somebody that just lost the week before. They just don't. So I think Vandy beating LSU would actually probably cross that off the list, depending on the rest of the chaos that we get throughout the course of the weekend. But, you know, and this is about the right time to use a Memphis school, because it re-energizes a little bit of the show, because, hey, we're at a place we don't go to very often, and you save yourself some, you know, runway for whatever they're going to do during the college football playoff and then, you know, rank the rivalry week stuff they've got to get through.
Yeah. I mean, That's good news. I mean, I kind of ruled out.
Should be Commodores fans.
Because you're not going to Beale Street, obviously. Like, you can't go to Beale Street if the game's at 11 a.m. You can't do that again. So it'll be a different site. But, I mean, I guess it's still good. It's still good. It could still be good to have game day here. So, okay. Memphis has said it's still under consideration. And so it sounds like, talking to you, that would stand to reason. All right, on to the NFL. The Tennessee Titans finally fired Brian Callahan. Some would say that this is long overdue. He's been one of the worst coaches maybe ever in the history of the NFL in terms of just week-to-week performance. My question is just how attractive is this job to you, Fitz, given ownership, given all the turnover in the front office? How attractive is the Titans? And I know it's one of 32, but it's all relative. Like, would an up-and-coming great NFL OC leave their spot for that job?
No. And I can say no pretty definitively. Everybody says it's only 32. I think that's a little oversimplification. I don't think so. When you look at what's appealing about the job, understand that this is the fourth person that the Titans have fired in the last 4 years in a position of power. So what does that tell you if you're coming in? It tells you that you're coming into a place that has very little stability. Now, when you take this job, you're going to have to make the decision from day one that you're all in on Cam Ward. Because you're going to be linked to Cam Ward. And if Cam Ward isn't successful, what's that mean? That means that they're likely going to fire the GM. If they fire the GM, now you're working for another GM. This is why I constantly tell y'all and I tell everybody, like, the only way you ever reset your franchise is to reset the entire timeline for everybody at once. Same clock for a GM and a coach and a quarterback. Set them all at once. That's the way you actually try a reset. I think anyone coming into the building, understanding that Amy Adams Strunk is not the most cash rich owner in the NFL. They're never going to want to have to put the money in that some people would have to put in for rosters. Understanding that, you know, she's paying a lot of people that are no longer in the building at this point. You look at all of these things and you stack them together and it's just like, what is the mass appeal other than it's one of 32? You know, you've got a city that is indifferent at best. They've got a brand new stadium that's going to be built and it's going to be beautiful. And you can just clip this off and play it for the rest of time. That stadium in Nashville is going to have the same exact issue that the Raiders have at Allegiant, because it's going to be a beautiful stadium that is going to be overtaken by fans every week because the local market just doesn't really care because the team hasn't given them anything to care about. So when you stack all these things up, you know, there's just not a ton of hope. And guys, I think this is why we always say, like, how do you fix it when the same person is going to be making the decision? At the end of the day, you know, the reason bad teams are bad more often than not is because the absolute head of the entire thing is bad at identifying talent that can change the culture in a room. I think Amy Adams Strunk has proven that she's bad at identifying talent. And that's why, you know, one person that covers the team referred to Brian Callahan to me when he was still the coach as a meat shield that only still had his job so that he could take the bullets instead of Amy Adams Strunk. That's the culture of an organization you're going into. It's going to take a miracle, and you're just going to have to get lucky. You're going to have to find somebody like D'Amico that wanted to go to the Texans because he loved the Texans. You're going to have to find that and get lucky with it all at once. And, man, that's not a great proposition for a coach. That's why I think you're not going to get an up-and-comer. Will you get maybe a Mike McCarthy that realizes he may not have a lot of legs elsewhere but knows that he can win at a pretty high level? Maybe you get somebody like that, but even at that, I think you're going to have to wildly overpay and you're going to have to do much longer on a contract because whoever steps in the building knows that they're one foot out the door already.
So you're telling me I'm still going to be able to get like cheap Bears tickets in this new stadium that the Titans have when they're playing the Bears?
It ain't going to be cheap. They ain't going to be cheap, but they are going to be Bears. It's going to be just like Allegiant's the most expensive ticket in the NFL.
Yeah.
But, man, yeah. I mean, every Bears fan sitting around saying, oh, man, you want to go check out that fancy new stadium in Nashville? Yeah, I want to go party in Nashville. Of course. That's it. And the local market just doesn't care. Like, why should they care anymore? Like, you've got a transient team with people that have moved in, that live all over the country, that already have their favorite football team. And the Titans have done nothing as a team, as a football franchise, even within the community, to really give themselves the roots of give a damn. So, like, the minute it's not good, you got so many other places. You have, 15 concerts a night going on somewhere in that city. You know, you can go see Post Malone, or you can spend that money instead to go see the Titans. Nobody's spending it on the Titans. So, yeah, you're going to be able to buy tickets to every one of those Titans games.
I have a gambling addiction, so I would like to go to the Titans game. and fade the Titans. That's what I would.
I'm in on this. Like, if they ever want to build a casino in downtown, like, that's the one thing left that Lower Broad needs. If they would just build a casino on Lower Broad, oh, then full debauchery could finally overtake everything. And by the way, like, you just sign me up for all the rehabs. Just line them all up. If they ever put a casino on Lower Broad, you can just sign me up for every portion of rehab.
Yeah, although, I don't know. Haven't you, like, really curbed or stopped drinking alcohol completely?
Yeah. But, you know, I've had a pretty brutal year betting, so I think by the time I'm on Lower Broad, like, I'm on Lower Broad, I'm losing my you-know-what, and I'm going to go to the bar to see my buddy play, and then all of a sudden, one shot of Fireball turns into right back into the old me. Like, all of a sudden,
that's right.
Bam, you know, I'm just going to be raging on Lower Broad.
By the way, remind me, are taxpayers funding the stadium, or is it, like, what's the breakdown on that?
I mean, most of the money is coming from hotel and visitor taxes that they added to it. But the weird thing is that it's mostly considered public funded on a $2 billion stadium.
Wow.
But the crazy thing is that they got such a bad deal when the original stadium opened in 99 that the city was always going to be on the hook for any renovations, remodeling, any upkeep needed for the stadium. And the bills for that were becoming so staggering that it was actually cheaper for the city to get themselves into a $2 billion agreement using, you know, this tax money that should go to schools instead. But they were able to get themselves into that agreement because it's cheaper than maintaining the old stadium would be. It's crazy.
That is pretty nuts.
Fitzy, I wonder, is this number, Georgia favored by 7.5, too big against Ole Miss? How are you feeling about this game and maybe the way it'll go?
Man, I feel like that's it's a heavy number. And I know that this is where we always say, well, Lane's going to lane at some point, but man, I don't know. Didn't we all think that Georgia was going to go out and just, I mean, I'm the one that said, hey, Georgia's going to go out and show Ty Simpson things he wasn't ready for.
Me too.
Alabama's going to really struggle against this defense. And instead, Alabama was like, nah, we got it. We're good. And like, the fact is, guys,
yep,
this Ole Miss team is not like other Ole Miss teams. They're just bigger on the line of scrimmage. And I've become so obsessed with fat guys in football. Like, their fat guys up front can handle the fat guys at Georgia. I honestly think Ole Miss has a real shot in this game. I think it comes down to the wire. And for anyone that hasn't seen Bill Connolly, he did a great thing on the, you know, he does the S&P index, and it showed the top of the college football rankings and how they've fallen in the S&P and where the middle teams have risen in the S&P. I think this is a great example of this. Like, there's no longer this great delineation between the talent and the organization of Georgia versus the talent and the organization of Ole Miss. So I think the game's in the margins. It's a field goal game to me, not a 7.5 point.
The Trinidad Chambliss layer of this when it comes to Ole Miss, his story coming from what he did, you don't see this stuff in college football anymore. It just adds another reason why I think I'm pulling hard for Ole Miss in this game. But that story, you think, I mean, is that going to happen, Fitzy, where we've got guys like that walking around Division IIs that can come up and not just start for an SEC school, but have them play well, have them in position to, you know, to maybe win it? I just think his story's been unfathomable.
It's the coolest part of what the modern version of college football has become, right? Like, because, you know, for everybody that sits there, and I got into a spirited argument with some of my buddies that were like, oh, college football is the worst it's ever been. I hate what they've done to my game. And you can't tell me that Trinidad isn't a living, eating, breathing example of, hey, now in today's world, you can portal your way. Guys have more time to get ready for it. Like,
great point.
Think about Dillon Gabriel. Dillon Gabriel was able to play more college football, which I think made him better capable of actually being drafted. And in the process, he made money, right? Like, think about Bo Nix. I think Bo Nix got to play more college football and actually make some money, which changes the rest of his life, no matter whether he's a great pro or not. Like, these are the moments that I think are inspiring. And you look at somebody like Trinidad, like, I will remind the entire world that this is proof positive that the most important thing in college football isn't do you have the money. The most important thing is, can you find the talent? Because North Carolina went out and found 70 people, and they just presumed that they could bring anybody in and it would be great. And Mike Lombardi, the GM there, did a really bad job of finding talent, right? So, like, to me, I look over and say, hey, Ole Miss figured something out. Like, they outsmarted everybody else on a quarterback that's perfect for them. And it's just been such a beautiful story for college football. Like, I think it's one of the most inspiring things in the modern era.
Talking to Jason Fitz, host of the Yahoo Sports Daily, Monday through Friday. That'd be 8 to 10 Memphis time. One of the best here, a friend of the show. And then I got to ask you, I mean, it's kind of funny. We're talking about a 3-3 football team in Kansas City being what I believe to be and should be the Super Bowl favorite. I'm just looking for a team that's going to challenge them. Like, they get Rashee Rice back this week. They're going to wipe the absolute field with us. Who is best positioned to challenge these new Chiefs with Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy and an improving team?
The NFC. Like, look, the Chiefs are going to the Super Bowl. Like, I mean, let's just call it what it is. The Bills are, they have played roulette for how many years with the, we're just going to roll the ball out and Josh Allen's going to be a savior. And what do you know? It's finally catching up to him. You can only ask, like, just, I would ask everybody that's listening, if you're a Bills fan, or even if you're not, watch the next game and ask yourself this: 3rd and 7, what's their go-to play? It's just run around and hope Josh Allen can make a miracle happen, right? Yep. Like, that's not how you win a Super Bowl. So, like, they've fallen off the cliff. I said in the preseason that the Steelers would be the fastest starting team in the AFC and would fall apart down the stretch because their schedule allows that. I still stand by that. I don't think the Steelers are any good. Nobody can figure out how the Ravens fell off the cliff this way. The Chargers are too hurt to make anything happen. Bo Nix has regressed wildly for the Denver Broncos. I don't trust them to go in and beat Kansas City. Like, the AFC is Kansas City is for the taking, and not for nothing. If you look at Vegas, the Kansas City Chiefs are favored every game for the rest of the year. That's a fact right now. So according to Las Vegas, if it just goes the way that the season is going to go, the Chiefs are going to finish 14-3. Like, just think about that. Like, this version of the Chiefs that everybody's been telling you is broken is going to end up right back in the Super Bowl. So the only question is, who are they going to be taking on from the NFC? Because the NFC is a lot more interesting this year.
Yeah, it is. Although I'm not even sure. I mean, I guess if you want to run it back with the Lions and you say they're healthier in a Super Bowl matchup, you know, I could believe that. I don't want to see 49ers Chiefs again. Like, we know that story.
I don't trust the Philly offense right now either, Fitzy. What about you?
No.
Yeah.
No, I don't trust Philly's offense at all. Like, that's the crazy thing, is that this year there isn't a clear cut. Like, I want to believe in the Lions. They got to get healthy. I want to believe in the Lions, but man, that's been fool's gold in the playoffs. Like, the thing of it is, when you are as risky as the Lions are during the regular season on fourth down, it's been them in the butt a couple of times in the playoffs. Yeah. I just, man, the game's in the margins. So, like, I trust the margins of Philly. I don't trust the margins of the Lions. I don't trust the offense of Philly to keep them in the margins right now. So, like, who can we trust? Like, J.J. McCarthy, if he ever gets on the field for any sustained amount of time, he's going to knock off Russ. We still don't know if he's any good, so I can't really trust the Vikings. The Packers looked really good until the Packers didn't look really good. Like,
right. Yeah.
We might be sitting here looking at Seattle saying, like, the one team that has the least number of questions right now are the Seahawks. And, like,
they're decimated with injuries, right? I mean, I don't know. You're right. If they're fully healthy, that would be interesting. But even that Lions game, as crazy as it got, and you know, the Chiefs kind of opened it up. I mean, if Amon Ra doesn't drop that ball on 4th and 2, they probably, mm-hmm. I mean, they have a chance to win that game, you know, and go down and go up 17-6. But that's the thing about the Chiefs, man. If you don't execute perfectly, then you're not winning the game, especially in Arrowhead. And Detroit Lions certainly found that out. Fitz, you're the best, my friend. Thank you, as
Thank
always.
Thank you so much, brother.
Appreciate you, boys. Talk to you soon.
Yes, sir. He is Jason Fitz, Yahoo Sports. Didn't rule out game day.
Nope. Did provide some insight on that FCS game, though.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know how cold it'll be up there this time around, but
I mean, it's probably going to be.
Sound like game day doesn't like being there, even though they're checking the box.
I mean, you got to think it'll be 10 days from now. It'll be nippy at the absolute least. It won't be like November, but.
No, what I liked hearing was just, hey, man, what y'all need is a Vanderbilt win. Yeah. So, right.
And Vandy's favor.
Yeah.
So. Go Commodores.
You're not on LSU there in the points?
No.
Surprise.
I don't want anything to do with that offense.
No, I get it. And who wants to be on Brian Kelly's side?
Yeah. Yeah. I have no interest.
Arrogance.
I have no interest in. If I thought the offense could have any sense of positive regression, I would be happy to do it. But how do you step in front of this Vandy machine right now with Pavia, man? I mean, it's just unbelievable how good they've been.
Joe Burrow rolling over in his grave. Jamar, all those great LSU offensive players just rolling over looking
for
at
sure.
this mess.
Kayshon Boutte.
Mm. Caught two touchdowns. This
two
touchdowns,
man.
Look good.
Yeah, man. A lot of people wrote off Kayshon Booty or Boutte. I don't know how
I
he says
it. I think it's Booty. I think
is
that's
it Booty?
What they were saying during the game.
Big old booty.
I want to say Boutte.
Right. We'll have some respect and class.
But I think the pronunciation is indeed Booty.
Well, cool. Kayshon Booty. He's one of those long list of greats, man. Don't forget. All right, we'll come back, and we'll call this a Wednesday on the other side. Jason and John, I just turned to FM, ESPN.
Robert Irwin Jewelers is having its 48th anniversary sale. That's right, 48 years in the business. You know what that means? When you've been around that long, you've been successful, obviously. That kind of longevity means success. But Howie and his family haven't had success without, right, having you, the buyer. And that means a bunch of good experiences, right, for folks to keep coming back. Howie knows what he's doing. His family knows what he's doing. He's going to make you the best deal because they want to be your jeweler for life. And right now, here's the key. Through October 25th, take 48% off of engagement rings. Yes, 48%. Now would be a great time to pop the question. Go see Howie first. Get the ring. 3/4 carat lab-grown diamond earrings on sale as well for $248. 3-carat lab-grown diamond tennis bracelet for only $948. So it's not just engagement rings that Howie's got on sale. Bunch of great items, great gifts, whatever the budget, at 48% off to celebrate this 48th anniversary sale. All items are while supplies last. That's why you need to get there now. Don't wait till October 25th to get the best deal from Howie. You're going to leave smiling. Shop RIJ in the Bartlett Town Center in Bartlett off Goodman Road in South Haven or the Diamond Showroom on South Perkins across from Laurelwood. Online, of course, they're at rijewelers.com. The sale ends Saturday, October 25th. Bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices, always at Robert Irwin Jewelers.
There's one weird thing going on with the Chiefs. The rookie left tackle. He's away from the team right now in what the team is calling personal. And he was not present during the Chiefs media look on Wednesday. And Patrick Mahomes said that he will keep the conversations between them private, but says he's praying for him.
Yeah, must be personal.
So I don't know if that's like a – you know, you see this sometimes, right? Like, you see guys, they'll just retire. They'll just have, you know, their own reasons, and they'll say, you know, we've seen it before, right? We saw Andrew Luck retired way before we ever would have thought.
Not, you said rookie, though, right?
Yeah, this is a rookie.
Right. I see it so young do it, but.
I feel like there was one rookie that retired randomly. You know, I can't, maybe I'm making it up, but I feel like there was a guy that got drafted pretty high and ended up retiring, but I don't remember who that would have been. I'll have to look it up. But yeah, it sounds like, you know, he is going through something. And I will say the backup, I think it was Jaylon Moore, you didn't hear his name. That's a good thing.
Right.
You didn't hear his name. So
that's what the Chiefs do, next man up.
That's exactly right. And that's what the Bills don't do. They don't have that. They don't have that depth. They don't have that, like,
right.
Because when they lost Palmer, the receiver, it looked like crap. You know, and that's, you know, Patrick Mahomes is like, I don't care who I'm throwing to. I got Hollywood Brown out here. I got Tyquan Thornton. You know, I mean, it's just kind of crazy. So, yeah, that's one, you know, again, if we're looking for reasons to not like the Chiefs, you want to say offensive line issues, whatever, but they seem to have been just fine doing that and working through that. So, anyway, tonight got Grizzlies preseason.
5:30 pregame, early.
5:30 pregame.
East Coast.
Charlotte Hornets are a 4.5-point favorite. Obviously, you have, you know, Ja out, Jaren out, Big Dogs out. Scottie Pippen and Vince Williams are listed, I believe, as game time decisions tonight. So we'll see if, you know, if they make their return, you know, and play in this one. Although, again, my, you know, eyes will simply be on just the young dudes. GG, like, can you have a game? Can you have a game, GG?
I would say that these are critical games for GG, just in the sense that you need to put something on paper, something on film that looks like it wants to be part of a top 8, top 10 rotation.
Exactly.
I mean, that's, again, you've got some threats now in terms of guys ahead of you that could leave you, as we've put it, lost in the shuffle. So I would want to see GG be, especially in these situations where there's more opportunity, just be super aggressive. And that's not just as a scorer. We know you can do that. Go rebound, go play, mate. Go show you can defend and want to defend. Like, it just feels right now for him like critical time for him and this organization.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Maybe not him individually. Maybe it happens somewhere else. But if it's going to happen, it needs to start happening now for GG with the Grizzlies.
That's going to do it for us today. Thanks to Jason Fitz for joining us on the show. Thanks to Norton Hurd, the fourth, who's going to be on with Jeffrey Wright today. Looking forward to catching up and hearing that. Don't touch it. Don't touch that dial. Keep it locked on 92.9. For Jason, I'm John. We're gone.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.